David is being found faithful even with the smallest of details. And that's a great training place for God to promote David to being the one who shepherds, who takes care of God's flock, Israel, the people. But Jesus would go on to say in the New Testament in Luke chapter 16, verse 10, "One who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much."
Welcome to Friendly Connection. Friendly Connection is the teaching ministry of Chuck Hartman.
Understand that each one of you in this room can share the good news of Christ in a way that I cannot.
Friendly Connection is an inspirational and encouraging weekly walk through the Word.
Think about the number of us, no matter how young or old you are, in this room. How many lives each of us could touch and change this week by redeeming the time.
We at Friendly Connection pray that today's message will be an encouragement as you live out your faith.
That is essential. If you are doing any kind of work for the kingdom of God, it's important that you know your identity in Christ Jesus.
Now, let's go to today's message.
Paramount thing that Saul could have, Saul is missing in his life. In Acts chapter 13, it says that Saul reigned for 40 years. And what I want you to take away from this is this. While God took his spirit away from Saul, and Saul, he took the kingdom away from Saul, it wasn't an immediate takeaway. Saul continued to be king, but he was king without God's presence. You know, I want you to understand, whatever you do in life, if you don't have the presence of God, if you don't have the indwelling of his Holy Spirit, then what you're doing, even though they may be the best laid efforts and best motives and intentions, without God, it's all vanity. It's going to fall flat. We need God. We need his Holy Spirit. We need his presence in our life. We see that once David is anointed, the Spirit of the Lord falls on David, rushes on David, and remains with David, the scripture says. So in Saul's lack of faithfulness, the paramount thing that I see is that he doesn't have a trust or reverential fear for God. It seems that he has a reverential fear for the people. He has a reverential fear for fear, but he doesn't fear God. In 1 Samuel 15:28, it says, "And Samuel said to him, 'The Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you this day, and has given it to a neighbor of yours who is better than you.'" Now, I know the scripture says God is no respecter of persons, but how do you think Saul must have felt when he heard this from the mouth of God through the prophet Samuel? Someone better than you. I don't know that God was really saying David was better than Saul, like as a person, but what God was saying is, he reverences me. He loves me. He seeks me above anything else. Which leads me to the second point. I have to ask the same question of David that I ask of Saul. Who was David's king? And I think even as an adolescent, as a young boy here at this juncture, we already see a relationship and a reverential fear for God Almighty. When David later would go out to face the giant in 1 Samuel chapter 17, you know, Saul tries to get David to put on his armor. It's just too big for David. And David says, "Listen, I've been tending my father's sheep for years. And sometimes a lion would come in and try to steal a sheep away. Sometimes a bear would come in and try to steal a sheep away. But every time God would give me victory over the bear and over the lion. And so I understand that the same God who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear is going to deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine giant." Now, I think that word uncircumcised is very important, especially for that time and period. Because what is David saying? He's saying, "I'm in covenant relationship with God Almighty. I'm circumcised. I'm in a relationship with God." This other guy is not. He's taunting God. He's mocking God. And it's God's power that's going to bring this giant down. I'm just the willing vessel. It seems that David has no fear here. And I don't think it's because he's young and dumb. I think it's because he knows what God's going to do in his life. Is it the same for us? I'm not saying that this is a minor thing. This is a pretty major thing for us to do. We're going to get to the small things in a moment that David did. This is a pretty important thing. This is the most important thing. In fact, the most important decision of your life is the decision that you make for Christ Jesus. Have you accepted him as your Lord and Savior? Are you in relationship with him? Are you in covenant with him? The fact that David is saying this uncircumcised Philistine says to me that David recognizes who he is in God. Now, fast forward 2,000 or 3,000 or so years to New Testament times. For us, it's not about circumcision. It's about being in Christ Jesus, knowing him in the free pardon of sin, being what we call born again, saved. Because I'm saved, because I know Jesus is my Lord and Savior, I don't fear what the enemy can do because Jesus has already defeated the enemy for me. So the most paramount decision you will ever make in your life is the decision to live for Christ, the decision for him to be your Lord and Savior. And it seems like in Old Testament times that that's what David is doing. He's saying, I'm in relationship with God. I'm a covenant, in covenant with God Almighty. And the God who has delivered me time and time again is going to deliver me again this time. Important lesson that we learn from this text is that God values the heart. God values the heart. You know, the people chose Saul to be their king. And in 1 Samuel chapter 19, we see the qualifications that they used. Saul's father was very wealthy. Saul was a handsome man. Scripture says that there was not a man among the people in Israel more handsome than Saul. It also said that from his shoulders upward, he was taller than any of the people. So we see that the people of Israel are looking at all the outward things. That's how they're choosing. And we almost see Samuel repeating the same mistake. The first son of Jesse that comes before him in our main text in 16 verse 7, you know, what does God say? The Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or his height or his stature because I have rejected him. Samuel 16, 7. Samuel, don't repeat the mistake. This isn't the one. I'm not looking at the outside. I'm looking at the inside. The one who's faithful to me, who's even faithful in the smallest of details. So how was David faithful in the small details? I want to get to that now. Where do we find David? We find David attending the flocks, tending the sheep. Now, when Saul comes to power in 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 3, what do we find Saul out doing? He's out looking for his father Kish's donkeys that are lost. And Kish says, take a young man and go look for these donkeys. Now, was this Saul's responsibility to make sure these donkeys didn't get away? Scripture doesn't say for sure. We can only speculate at that. But the fact that Kish sends Saul out to find them makes me wonder if Saul from the very beginning was being unfaithful with what his father owned. I just wonder about that. I can't say with clarity one way or the other. But I wonder about that. But we find David in the whole opposite place. He's out attending his father's livestock. It seems from the scripture narrative that David knows. He knows where all the sheep are. They're accounted for. He's doing what he has been called to do. And understand, being a shepherd is thankless work. I mean, this pretty much was his farm chore, if you want to think about it, or his household chore. This is what he's doing. And we don't, scripture, usually when someone complains about something, scripture has a way of putting that detail in there. We don't find that with David. We don't find him complaining about keeping the sheep. In fact, it seems like from the biblical narrative that David is willing, even as a child, to lay down his life for the sheep, to protect the sheep, to protect the livestock, to protect the wealth of the family, because the more sheep you had, the wealthier you were in those days. So it seems like we're finding David faithful from the very beginning. And I wonder if that's part of the reason Scripture says that David was a man after God's own heart. From the beginning, from childhood, it seems like David already has this beautiful foundation building upon, with God being foremost of his foundation and building upward. You know, being a shepherd, tending your father's sheep, again, there was probably no pay associated with that. It was definitely a dirty job. I mean, think about it. In his father's house, Samuel has already consecrated all the brothers and the father and the other people who come in. They're all smelling good, and here comes David. You know, David smelled like a flock of sheep, and you know what that smells like. Think about that. But we don't see David complaining. He comes in even dirty, you know, willing to lay down his life for the sheep. Even at a young age, has an unwavering trust in God, a dependence on God. David was not reporting as complaining because his brothers and father were with Samuel up at the house while he's attending the sheep. It doesn't seem like any of that bothers David. David is being found faithful even with the smallest of details. And that's a great training place for God to promote David to being the one who shepherds, who takes care of God's flock, Israel, the people. In fact, Jesus would go on to say in the New Testament in Luke chapter 16, verse 10, "One who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much." Jesus goes on to say in the New Testament in Matthew 25, 23, when he's talking about the parable of the talents, he says, "And his master said to him, 'Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, and I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.'" So my encouragement to you is this. First and foremost, make sure the big thing in your life is cemented. Make sure you know Christ in the free pardon of sin. Make sure you have a relationship with Jesus, because that is the most important decision you will ever make in this lifetime. And when he is your Lord and Savior, and when you live for him, then my encouragement to you is this. Be found faithful, even in the small details. Even in those dirty jobs that go unnoticed by others, God notices, he sees, and he rewards. And oftentimes he rewards openly. I'm not saying do the small stuff to get something from God. That's not what I'm saying, because God sees heart motives. He knows why you're doing it. I'm saying if it needs to be done and you feel that he's calling you to do it, go do it. Even if no one else sees, even if there's no pay involved, even if there's no credit, no accolades associated with it, go do it. Because God sees. Even in those times where you feel like you're being beat up or taken advantage of, go do what you feel God has called you to do. Be faithful even in the small things. And in due season, Jesus said, in due season, the Father will reward you. Come into the Master's reward. At the end of our life, I hope we all desire to hear God say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant."
I hope you will join us again for Friendly Connection so we can explore God's Word together. Blessings.